Being a caregiver to older adults, for many of us, our parents, is a big part of a lot of our lives. And for some people, it's in kind of crisis mode, health issues, emergencies. It's this concept that we think about what it means to be a caregiver. But for many people, it's the stuff that's just a Thursday that we don't think about so often, and yet it's weighing heavy on all of us as part of our mental or emotional load that we're trying to navigate with the pile of all the other things that's in our mental and emotional labor load. And today I want to talk about one of those areas when it comes to ways in which we're supporting our parents or supporting the older folks in our life. And maybe it's us, and maybe it's a sibling, or maybe it's a spouse. But the idea is that when parents need help with technology, it can fill the room and it can feel heavy. We can't see what they're talking about. It's not a good time for helping them. We've helped them before. And then sometimes it can be even more of a crisis. Like, what do you mean you clicked on that link and you're not sure what happened, right? It can be very much putting us into problem-solving mode. Sometimes we don't even have the skills to be the problem solvers. Today's episode is about an organization that's been around for about 10 years that I discovered because it happens to be in my town, but they do work virtually and they work with people across the country. That provides help to people of any age, but they really specialize in helping make technology easier and more accessible and not so scary for older folks. I'm introducing you today to Kristen Thorpe from SCM Foundation. Welcome to Surfing the Quicksand. Today, I'm diving into an area that we don't always think of when we think of our role as caregivers to our adults, our loved ones, our parents, maybe even other people in our lives. But it comes up a lot when I think about the mental and emotional load that comes along with being a caregiver. And today's topic is a little niche, but I think it's so pervasive in so many people's lives, and we just kind of treat it as white noise in the background, but it can lead to stress in our lives. It can lead to avoidance. It can lead to impacting our relationship with our parents. More importantly, if we're not feeling stronger about it, it really impacts our parents in a difficult way. And I'm talking about technology. And honestly, our parents, when they were our age and in our role, didn't have to deal with the kind of stuff when it comes to technology that we do. So I'm bringing to you Kristen Thorpe, and Kristen is the executive director of the SDM Foundation. I'm going to talk a little bit about that in the beginning and a lot more at the end. But what I want you to know about the SDM Foundation is it's been around for almost 10 years, and it provides technology help to users at all levels, in person, kind of in my town, but also virtually. So anywhere, anyone listening can learn more about SDM Foundation. And they do it for free. And I don't know that free is going to be forever, but it certainly has been for a long time. And I love that this is a service that I've been able to recommend not only to my clients, but my friends, my family, and my parents have used SDM. So welcome, Kristen.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be here. It was very nice of you to invite me.
Oh, you were top on my list when I was thinking about ways that there are resources out there that we can all make use of, not only to get help for our parents, but to kind of get help for ourselves in the process, kind of caregiver support, building our village. And I really think of SDM as part of that.
Good. Thank you.
Good.
We are part of it. We're happy to
Yes.
be part of it.
Good. So let's start first and talk. Give me the high level of what SDM Foundation is, and then we'll talk about the ways in which you work with people who contact you.
Okay. So SDM Foundation, as you said, we're a nonprofit. We're a 501c3. We were founded with a bequest, someone that I worked with. We can talk about that later. And so we were able to provide all of our services for free. We help with any technology questions, issues. My email's not working on my phone. I don't know how to use this new laptop. I want to learn more Excel to get a better job. I don't know what the difference between Wi-Fi and cellular is. I mean, any technology question. And it is almost entirely one-on-one appointments. You make an appointment, you sit down with one of our staff members, and you say, "This is my device. This is what I want to learn." And we get started, and you can make another appointment and another appointment and come as often as your schedule and our schedule work, and as long as you have questions. So it's such a wonderful, there's no one that doesn't need help sometimes.
Yes.
And the older people need help more often than most, and we're just really excited to be able to help them.
I love it. And I think it's important that people keep in mind that you didn't invent technology help, but when I think of the many resources that are available to me, I need to have a technological ability to access that help sometimes,
Yes.
right? Like,
Yes.
oh, just go make an appointment with the Genius Bar. That's 10 steps if you
Yeah.
remember your Apple ID
Yeah.
password. Or,
Yes.
gee, I have a problem with my phone. I went to the Verizon store. Well, Verizon said this is a phone thing, and the phone
Yes.
place said it's a Verizon thing, right? So even the
Absolutely.
access to
Yep.
help has huge barriers.
Yes. Even there's a website that we often refer to people to that's run by Goodwill, and it's called GCF Global. And they have very, very simple tutorials with videos and written in big letters, but you've got to be able to get on the website. You have to know what a browser is to know how to get into it. And then how do I find the right one? And oh my goodness, it has three different word things listed here. Which one would I have? And there really is a hurdle that is so it stops so many people, and older people tend to go a little slower. They don't want to do the wrong thing, and so it is a bigger hurdle for them than for kids who just, you know, click, click, click. I can't do anything wrong anyway, so you know, they just try things.
Yeah, it's a phrase I remember using with my parents, but other people a lot was, don't worry, you're not going to launch the space shuttle if you click the wrong
Yeah.
button, right?
Yeah.
But there's a huge fear that
Yes.
sometimes anybody, but especially older folks who were this really isn't native technology for them, to say, wait, I don't want to do the wrong thing.
Right.
Can we talk first and foremost about that, the fear that
Yes.
you hear about? Identify, regardless of whether or not we would buy into that
Yep.
being a rational fear. What's the
Yep.
fear you hear with older folks and technology?
Their fears, there are several. One is they're going to break something. They're going to do the wrong thing. Scams have, that'll be a separate topic for you, but scams have become such a huge part of their lives that it has stopped them from doing even the things they might have done a year ago. You know, reading an email and clicking on something. We have so many people who come in and say, "Just is this one okay?" And you tell them again how to check, but the how to check is getting harder. So that is clearly a fear that they have. But they're afraid of looking silly to asking questions. They're afraid of annoying people. I mean, we must hear 5 times a day, I'm the dumbest one you've ever seen. I ask the dumb, and we always say, that bar is so low, you don't even know. It really is. And they need encouragement that it's okay to not know for sure what to do. They take their time, they read the whole entire screen, and then they decide what to click on. It's a different process, and they have a lot of fears, especially doing the wrong thing.
When I think of some of the fears you just talked about, it's actually a little relatable to when I work with people in organizing, of people saying, "Am I the worst you've ever seen? I should be better at this. I should have learned how to do this." S so much I'm hearing in both of those is shame.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. That is a huge part of it. Oh, they showed me and, or they did it for me and now I can't do it again. I can't go back and ask them again. I've asked them three times. A lot of that, very
Yeah.
much. Yeah.
And I know that as an adult child of parents who've struggled with technology and knowing other people have had the same stories, like I'm part of that shame building for them, right? They'll say, "No, that's not what I said," or "We went over this last time," or "Didn't you write that down?" Or, "Well, where are your passwords? I told you to write them down." You can think of all the things we might say in trying to be a support to someone struggling, right? Or someone who needs our help. And this is the same in the office. This is the same with teachers and students, right? When you're in the situation where you think you're teaching, you are making an assumption around that person's ability to understand what you're saying, their ability to retain it, their ability to recall it, and to also to adapt when the ground game changes, right? Just as you said, a year ago, it was easier to check some things. Now it's harder.
It also is so true that when the person that you're helping is your family member, the fact that you don't really have very much time and you've done this multiple times and you're stressed makes it that much harder. For us, it's way easier. This person, and people will say, "I just don't want to waste your time. I just don't want to waste your time." And we say, "The appointment's here and it's yours. And there, that is all I'm doing for this 50 minutes is sitting with you. So there's no such thing as wasting time." But when the person I'm talking to is also working a job and has kids they're trying to feed and didn't get their laundry done and has errands on their mind, it's a completely different thing. And so it is easier for us to have the patience because it's not one more thing in this list of things we're trying to all keep straight in our head. For us, this is all we're doing. And I can tell you five times, and I can help you write it down. And when you come back next week, we'll do it all again.
I love it. And I think that's the point you just made around kind of our role in this kind of caregiving age is it's probably not the only thing we're doing. It might not even be one of a thousand things we have to do today. And so we get our patience tested all the time, which is so natural and so normal. And it goes back to what I was saying a little bit about how I think I know that I've identified this myself. When I do show up in a way that feels short, I'm part of that shame, not only for them, but for me. Like I don't feel great about those moments. I remember very clearly, and this is 10 plus years ago, I remember kind of correcting my dad over an issue in Excel. And I have a lot of shame over how I spoke to him in that moment because I remember it. He said he was trying to take averages. And I said, "Well, what did you type?" He said, "Equals AVG." And I said, "No, that's not what I said. I said average, spell it out," right? How rude of me and insensitive and not helpful. And it probably set back his ability to feel good about approaching me with questions. We've for sure gone past that. Like I'm no
Absolutely,
question. But I
absolutely.
remember, I always say to people, shame's like the sharpest chisel on our memory. And for me, that's a moment of shame. And to know that it could have happened in other ways that don't stick out as much of me is a hard thing that we balance. Again, whether it's caregiving or parents or colleague or friend, we make steps like this.
And you have to cut yourself slack for that very same reason. And actually, I talk to my staff about that. And I say, everyone is going to have a time when they need to just walk away from the table. And that is absolutely okay for us too. And just, talk to the, other staff member over here and say, could you just jump into this one for a minute? Because sometimes it's just very frustrating. And it is not anyone's fault. And we pride ourselves in meeting people where they are. And some of them remember things really well, and many of them don't, and I don't. And I think being not being a 30-something person in this field, but having my staff see that I can hold my own and that I know a lot and I have a perspective that they don't have actually changes the way they can then approach some of our clients because it's not the old people in us, and you've already said, and we teach kids, we teach, middle adults, we have high school kids who come, we will help anyone, but that, our sweet spot is older people because they need a lot of help.
So I want to talk about your staff for a second. And as you're building this foundation, again, you've been open for almost 10 years. Staff come and go, your needs change. How do you think about bringing people in? And I mean, what do you look for when you're bringing somebody in? How do you train them? How do you get them? How do you're making sure that they're the right temperament and how are you encouraging and developing that staff-wide?
So that's a really good question. And we're still learning. I have always said that patience is the number one job description here. If you can't come up with any technology help for somebody, you still have to be patient. So what I'm looking for are people who use a variety of kinds of technology. I really don't need, although some the people that I have a very wide backgrounds. Many of them did not go to college for this, did not go to college at all. I'm looking for people with practical knowledge, problem solvers, who are super patient, who like to help people. Those are big things. I sent all of my staff to dementia training because I think, as I talked to you about, dementia training is training for everybody. That, it's important to know, people with dementia, but some of the things that we learn are just practical, good sense things. Talk slowly. Pause. Let the person think about it. Don't, if you're not responding to me, that doesn't mean you want me to keep talking. That probably means that you're thinking about what I said, putting it all together, and then you'll come up with a question or, say something. And we are very much not do for you. We're very much show you how to do it. So when people say, I'd like you to look at my Facebook account, I say, we'd be happy to look at your Facebook account with you. We'd be happy to have you show it to us and ask us, what the questions are. And we never take over somebody's computer. I tell my staff, if you never touch their device in the entire appointment, that to me is a successful appointment. They should be doing it because then they own it and they're much more likely to remember it. And that goes back to another thing that people often tell us when their children or grandchildren help them. They usually will take their phone, do their thing, hand it back, and say, okay, I fixed it again for you, Grandma. And Grandma says, but I don't know how it happened in the first place, and I'm never going to know how to fix it when it happens again if nobody takes the time to show me. So our staff doesn't really turn over very much because it's a super feel-good job. And
No, yeah.
I have one staff member who's been with me since 2016 when we opened. He went to school, got his master's, got a full-time computer job, and still works with us on Saturdays because he just really enjoys doing it. So that to me, success. That's good.
I love that. And I do think, the two things I heard most were patience and a real desire and kind of getting joy out of helping people, right?
Yes.
Technology is
Yes.
almost third on that list.
Yes,
You can learn technology.
absolutely.
You can
You
learn another
exactly,
technology.
and it changes all the time.
Yeah.
So if
Yeah.
you knew how, all the answers before, you're not gonna know all the answers now. In
Yeah.
fact, we often say we can search for things faster than most people, and we're very quick at figuring out which of the search results is a legitimate source that is likely to give the right answer. And we do that more quickly because we do it all the time. But we cannot possibly know everything. That would not be possible.
I do hear that. Your ability to be quick and accurate researchers
Yes.
is part of being a problem solver. And I
Yeah.
do think of that's where the people calling you are stumbling, right? They can't
Yes.
research on their own, or their research sent them down the wrong path, or they don't know
Right.
how, or
Yes.
they can't follow, they found a great YouTube tutorial, but it's not that great because it's not helping them, right?
Right. Absolutely. That's very, very true. And you can't believe everything. And it's actually getting a little bit harder with the AI because the AI looks so definitive. It's right there at the top of your search results, and it says 1, 2, 3, and you get to step two, and it's not there. And it's like, yeah, because the AI took a piece over here and a piece over here and a piece over here, and it put them together like they were together, and they're not. So it's not your fault that you can't follow it. But we say, so for that, you just skip past that and then you find out where those came from and which one applies to you. A lot of it is figuring out what the terms are. And Stuart, the guy that I used to work for, used to say that the language is the biggest barrier. And if you can't get over that, you can't, it's none of it is accessible. And that's totally true. If I say to somebody, are you in the browser? And they say, I don't know what a browser is. And you say, okay, what picture did you click on when you, and they describe, and we say, oh, you're in Edge or Safari or Chrome or oh, you're in your email. People will say, this thing popped up. Is it a notification or an email or a text? Or, the language is the very first thing you have to jump over, and it's not that easy.
You know what you're reminding me of? This was a language, or more of a model, learning that I had when I remember trying to explain again to my folks around the difference between the email that's on your computer when you open up Exchange or whatever your processor versus the email that's still sitting on Comcast, like on the
Yeah.
website. And I remember thinking, like, oh, I have to work harder at coming up with analogies.
Yes.
And I remember thinking, it was like, it's kind of like you get to peek into your mailbox, but the mail is still waiting for you until you reach the mailbox and pull it out yourself, right? And
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of, like, how can I be better at creating visuals that help
Yeah.
break down concepts?
Yes.
Is that
Yes.
something that you guys work hard at?
So we really do,
Yeah.
and we've been expanding are teaching resources on our website so that people can go to them anytime. And we've actually been trying to get a grant to help us build more of those resources, because we know what we use that's online to help people learn. And some of these people are immigrants, and some of them are looking for jobs after a long time. And so they're not all old people, but you know, they tend to be beginners. And so we're drawing pictures of clouds, and what does the cloud mean? And why is upload, upload, and download, download? And, you know, I just was talking to somebody 10 minutes ago, and he said, I downloaded the Senior Center newsletter. So where is it? It's like, well, we're on the phone and I can't exactly tell you for sure. So we're trying to come up with more graphics that explain these things. You know, storage. My storage is full. Well, there's device storage on each of your devices, and you're probably in multiple clouds, whether they're Google or iCloud or OneDrive, or and so it might be this and it might be that, and who's telling it to, and maybe you use Dropbox. And so we're trying to come up with graphics that we can just pull off the shelf and say, okay, now we're going to fill out your reality on this overlay. And so, yes, the answer is we're trying to work on that.
I love that. And it sounds like that ends up being an additional way they get to remember.
Yes.
Store in their brain, or store in a desk or a file cabinet. Like, okay, what is it that I need to remember was the problem here?
Yes.
And giving them breadcrumbs back to their own problems.
Right. And we can send them home with a picture with their things written on it that they talked about,
yeah,
that they actually wrote on. And that just is one more trigger. Yeah. Yeah.
Talk about that with virtual clients. Again, I know you work with people more so than just walking into a beautiful space. Tell me about virtual.
So virtual is great for some things, and it's not great for other things. We do not take over people's computers, and boy, do they want us to. They, no, you just take it and just show me. And, you know, no, sorry, we don't do that. But so when you're doing it virtually with somebody, one of the nice things is they're in their home on their computer, and you can see exactly what they see. And you say, okay, it's in the upper right, and it's next to the thing that looks like blah, blah, blah. And so they're getting that practice right away as they're doing it with you. It's depending on how comfortable they are with that process. You can also send them a document. If we talk about something, we'll share our screen if we want to show them a graphic of some kind or something, or we'll send them a link to a page of a graphic. But again, those are probably not the very first beginner appointments, because those all take a little more technology. When lockdown happened, we taught a lot of people how to get on Zoom remotely. And that is a little tricky, because we're good at guessing what they're seeing based on what they're saying, because we've done it so much. But until they're in Zoom and can share a screen, you can't see anything. So you're just guessing based on the words they're using and your ability to ask questions to figure it out.
You know, I think about that, how you were already well established as an organization for several years before the lockdowns and the impact to how inaccessible people became without technology. Can you think of some of the other things that you helped people with during that time to bring it to life a little bit?
So, yeah. So we've always said that one of the things that a goal of ours is to help people be able to live fuller lives and communicate better. And that's one of the reasons that we want to help people use technology, and particularly older people. They're they are require their technology to call people and to FaceTime with people and to see pictures of people and all those things. And so when suddenly that became even a bigger thing and we were all remote, it was Teams and FaceTime and Zoom, but it was also, they sent me a digital frame and they put pictures on it, but I can't see them. Or, things like that, that it was it also a little of diversion, it's also loneliness. And so sometimes people are calling, not, oh, I'm not getting my email, but really what they want to do is chat with somebody and, have a little conversation, and we can provide some of that too.
That's a lot of kindness there.
Thank you. It's it there it costs us nothing.
I'm remembering again during pandemic, and this was my mother and lots of other people from 0 to 60 learning Instacart and
Oh,
DoorDash.
yes.
And well,
Yes.
they're going to text me with a picture of a broccoli, right? Like that skill alone that
Yes.
lots of people my age were not using. And we're all
Yeah.
trying to like race to get like, oh, book an appointment, all these things. The fact that we had people who are
Yeah.
older who like going to the grocery store, who had to give up of that control and
Yes.
get technologically
Yes.
able to place an order, wait for updates. The whole thing
I
was
almost
out of
forgot about
nowhere,
that.
right? And was never a skill anybody thought we were going to have to develop,
No.
let alone almost overnight.
Right. Well, and medical appointments. That's a big one. That still is a big one. We have people who will come and just sit in this office with one of our laptops, because all they have of a lot of people, all they have is their phone, and we'll get them on the appointment and then we'll leave and they'll have their medical appointment, because they're so stressed, even if they could do it, even if their phone, and no, your phone is not the best form factor for everything. But so we did a lot of that in the beginning too. We got a lot of calls from the library. People needed to, get on Libby and be able to download books, and they didn't know how to do it. And so we did a lot of that. We still get parents who need help with their kids' online school things. He's got a Chromebook, but this is what we did, and now this is what the school's doing, and how, so it that all of those things were brand new all at the same time. And so we continue to do them, but there was a lot of that at the beginning. Yeah.
And I want to take a minute and talk about the not the elderly folks, right? How you're helping parents, how you're involved with kids. I know there's so much with kids,
Good.
small business owners. Like, give me a little bit more about SDM and that broader part of services.
Because I think your sweet spot is our sweet spot. So starting at the youngest kids, from sort of mid to late elementary school, we do digital art and coding and Lego robotics and all sorts of lessons like that. We do small group lessons for kids, basically February vacation, April vacation, and over the summer. But kids can make appointments just like anybody else can. So we have kids that come after school 1 or 2 days a week, or come on Saturday and work on Lego robotics, for example, or something like that. And that's a resource for parents too. I mean, we want parents to know what we offer. So kind of moving up, we then have parents who are learning technology as their children are, and they want to understand more what their kids are doing. How can they keep their kids' devices secure? What parental controls are there? What is the social media all about? And we help a lot of parents in that space. And the short answer is always there's less technologically that you can do than you think. And it's really more about the conversations and getting buy-in and all of that. But we absolutely would, you know, whatever the device is, there are some parental controls, and we can show you how to do that. As we get to the parents, I mentioned people looking for jobs, or they want to learn some new skills to build their resume, or they're having trouble with their email, or they want to clean out their email or organize their photos, or all of those things. We help a lot of small businesses learn how to use social media, build their websites, figure out what QuickBooks is all about. You know, a sort of, there's just, technology is so much of a part of so many of our lives. And we always say, even if we haven't done it, we've done a lot of things, and we'll learn it sitting next to you. And just having a person to talk to and say, do you think that's where I click? And we say, you know, let's try it. We can always undo it. And, you know, so we'll do it with you. We'll tell you what we know. You tell us what you know. And, you know, we're learning all the time. So it is absolutely the gamut from young to old.
I love it. And I've been in as a client, I've been in as an instructor, I've
Yep.
been in as a class participant in some of the small business groups. I've brought my parents' computer in. I've been there for so many
Yep.
different ways and reasons. So I'm a big fan, but also a user, and I love that. I want to shift. I want to talk more about, since you've showed us so many different things that SDM is really doing. Tell us, let's talk more about SDM. And I want to talk about
Okay.
who SDM was
Yep.
and the origin of the foundation and maybe its future.
Okay. So, I'm from Minnesota originally, and when my husband and I moved out in the early 80s, I got a job at a software company, and Stuart McIntosh, not spelled like the computer, but Stuart McIntosh, owned the company. And I worked there for a few years, and they sold the company, and he asked me if I wanted to continue to work on the development work that we were doing together independently. Just so happened I was pregnant with my first child, and I thought, well, this sounds good. And so I started working with and for him. That continued for 30 years. And the world changed underneath us. It was an earthquake every 3 weeks. I mean, there was no web in the beginning. There was no, you know, we I learned HTML and then XML, and then, you know, we joined the W3C, and then we joined the object management group. And it was like every 10 minutes we were off in a different direction. I say to people, it was like a great big research project for 30 years. We never had a product. It was always, he was all vision. He knew that he wanted to make computers more accessible for people. And so, and that's what he'd been doing for, he was 93 when he died in 2015. So he was much older than I was. And he had been in business forms, and he worked at MIT, and he worked at Stanford. And so he was there for all the early everything. But his focus was always on, you know, don't tell me what the computer can do. I'll tell you what I need done. That was very much his thing. And so that was what we were doing. And for a while, we used his medical record as an example. If a person wanted to keep track of all their medical information, how would they do that? And how would, you know, and so it was all over the board, totally all over the board. And about halfway through that 30 years, he realized that, you know, he was substantially older than I was. And if I was going to stay there at this point, it was like, what kind of job would I even get if I mean, it was, and he said, you know, I would like you to be able to continue this idea in the future. And so we agreed that the purpose of helping non-technical people use technology was broad enough, narrow enough, and that when he died, some of his money would go into a nonprofit, and that would be our purpose. And so I spent the next 10, 15 years dreaming about what I would do at that time. It was absolutely the carrot. I followed it down the road. And he passed away in 2015. It took a year to, you know, take care of his estate and clear out his houses and do all of that. And in January of 2016, we began and we opened our doors in July of 2016. And my vision was, well, we'll have appointments. And I actually thought we'd do a lot more lessons. I thought it would be small group lessons, but you know, our experience was the problem with small group lessons is everybody comes in with different questions, starting in a different place, and they all want to talk about what they want to talk about. And it's hard to do a lesson to beginners, you know, like that. So we quickly transitioned to individual appointments, and boom. I mean, we do conversational small groups and we do kids lessons and we will speak at some organizations. We get asked a lot and where we can, we do. And we eventually, as you know, moved across the street into a bigger space. We're limited by the funds that we have, where we don't want to use our money too fast. We use some of it. We're not afraid to use our money to do what we want to do, but the quicker we run out, the quicker we run out. And we really don't ever want to run out. So we go for grants, but it's a little bit tricky because we don't really fit any normal boxes for nonprofits. We don't charge for our services, and our board and I feel strong we'd like to continue that as long as we can, because we really can reach so many more people by taking away the money aspect of it. We accept donations, and many of our people make donations, but you know, it might be $20, it might be $50, it might be $1,000. It doesn't pay for the lessons, but you know, anyone who gives what they can, it is always much appreciated. But so the future, where 10 years is 2026. We're gonna have a party. Don't know when or how. We're gonna see if we can do a little fundraising as well. We are trying to build up more of our online resources. We can see that the ways we can't add more staff because that's our number one cost, obviously. So, how to use the staff that we have more effectively to reach more people and having more online resources, I think will help us do that. So that's one of our main goals going forward.
Great. And I think that any business owner, which you are, would say, you know, the staff costs are the big expense of a company. So being able to do more with less or leverage other resources or getting at grants or getting at foundations, finding volunteers, whatever that is. I think that's it sounds like a short and long-term strategy for growth.
Absolutely. Yep.
It's nobody could have imagined what would have happened with our economy, with our future, with in
Right.
needs 10 years ago.
Yep.
And I was so pleased that you were able to take the leap into moving into a different space.
Yeah.
And that can seem like a big jump and a big investment. And you really have to think about where is this 10 years, 15, 20 years from now? What are we
Yes.
getting out of this leap now? And
Yes.
where you were kind of had you stuck in terms of how much you could do.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. We say it was a little bit like a bowling alley, and I was talking to Sarah, one of our staff members, our associate director, and she said, I don't know how we saw as many people as we did there. I mean, it was table, 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 and then the desk at the back, and it was noisier, and it was darker, and it was small, and it was limiting in that way. And we would have stayed because we like being downtown. We like that people can just walk by and see us. It makes them more comfortable. We always say, bring your parent in, and then they'll meet us, and then they'll get more comfortable, and then they might just come without you. You don't have to. Some people bring their parents every time they come, but a lot of parents might be reticent about coming because they're not really sure how it works, or if we're really gonna, think that they're not very smart or something. And so they'll come with a child once or twice, and then they're like, oh no, I can do this. And they'll call and make an appointment and come in. And so now it's much brighter. We have more windows, we have more space, we have an upstairs, so we can, if we have a small group upstairs, it doesn't take the whole downstairs up. It really is much more flexible for us.
I want to I ask one more question before I
Okay.
pivot, which is there are people listening who, again, don't live near Melrose or their
Yes.
parents don't live near Melrose. How would you advise them to take some steps about learning about SDM and whether or not that's a good resource for them and the parent and the problems they're trying to help their parents with?
The easiest way is to call us because we would be happy to talk with you about what level your parents are and what kinds of problems it is, and whether and how we think we can help with that. That is the quickest way. Our website is sdmfoundation.org, and you can send us a message in the contact form and ask us to call you. You can just describe your issues and questions, and we'll answer you. I think the hardest part for people far away is that the farther away you are, the more our time is skewed. And since we're on the East Coast, we have helped people on the West Coast, but that's 3 hours. I think it's 3 hours different. And our hours are 9 to 4, so that doesn't always, but we're also open on Saturdays. And so you can also sign up for our newsletter or go on our website and read some of our prior newsletters, because those give you ideas of topics that we've helped people with. We have a YouTube channel, and we've been working a lot on our content, both our shorts and our longer videos. Check those out, see if any of those might help you out. We're really working in that area. And if you have suggestions for us, send them on. We are happy to hear what would be helpful to individual people.
I love that. And I love that part about the YouTube and the shorts and the long, because it's something where I could say, oh, you know what, mom, I know you're struggling with this. Let me check to see if SDM has a resource on
Yes.
this, right? So I
Yes.
can use you as my research bank as opposed to
Yep.
directly supporting. And I have loved getting your newsletter. It's one of those newsletters, as soon as it shows up in my inbox, I read it. And I don't say
Thank
that
you.
about many newsletters, but It's clear, it's compelling, it's well laid out. I always learn something. It always
Thank you.
has me going back to the website to learn more. And I think that's the best thing that a newsletter
That
can do.
that's wonderful. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you. And we really are focusing on building our content. So I hope that you'll continue to look for things there, because that it will continue to grow and stay up to date. So that'll be
Great.
great.
Good. I will make sure all of those links are in our show notes for this event.
Great.
I want to switch to what I call the quicksand three. So, three questions that I ask all of my guests, because it's so much around the different missions that this podcast does, no matter what the episode. So, the first is, what is a tip or technique that you use to get unstuck and do something that you're avoiding?
So that's a good question. I am not a procrastinator. I am a get it done so you can get it out of your head person. I find that usually if I am stuck, I need to talk it out with somebody. I need to, call somebody and say, I'm stuck on this and this is what I'm thinking, and that helps me the most. I also write a lot of things down. I will write out in longhand because I just like the activity of writing. I will write out my ideas and then I'll throw that away and then I'll do something because it just helps me organize my thoughts.
I love that. And I do some of that first part that you talked about, reaching out. I do that with ChatGPT now.
Ah, yes. Okay.
Like,
Yes.
hey, I need a thought partner I'm going to train.
Yeah.
Next is, if anything were possible, right? Time in history, skills, money, ability. What's a career you think you might have liked to try?
I know this sounds like a cop-out, but this is my dream. This I dreamt about this for more than 30 years. And it is I tell people I'd be retired, but this is what I want to do. This is what I would do if I was retired. This is what I would do if I could go anywhere. I really that is the gift that Stuart gave me, is that this is my dream. I feel good every single day when I help somebody. I helped somebody log into an old Kindle because his wife, who was blind, could only use this version of Kindle because it had buttons on it, and they don't anymore. And when I managed to do it, he was over the moon, and I felt like I'd had another grandchild. I mean, it was like, wow, this is. So it sounds like a cop out, and if you'd asked me 10 years ago, this would be my dream. I just happen to be doing it right now.
That's amazing. Oh my gosh, that is great. And I know that feeling again, being in kind of the helper space where you get energy from that.
Yeah.
When you, I used to tell people when I first started with organizing, that feeling that, again, I'll say woman or mom is, they
Yeah.
do like the Julie Andrews spin in their room because they're so
Yeah.
happy like that.
Yeah. That,
That
yeah.
was the
That's
biggest.
what you do it for.
Yeah, that's the biggest I could have ever gotten. Last question, and maybe you don't even need this that much, but I think everybody does. What is one way that you kind of recharge or like hit the reset button when you're low energy or you're dealing with stress?
Two things really, and one of them is talking. I love to talk to people. I love to talk to people that I, my friends and family, that I love that. So that is certainly one. And curling up and reading a good book, I just can lose everything else and just reset. That's my other one, my other go-to.
I love it. Are you a paper book or online reader?
I'm an online reader. I'm a Kindle reader, and I get almost all my books out of the library. And so I read very random books because sometimes it's like, okay, all the ones I want to read are 3 month wait. So what do you got available? And I'll give it a try. So yeah,
I
that's.
think I went all in on digital reading when it became time that I needed to increase fonts.
Yes.
I was like, well, here we are. This is where I live now. This
My
is my
sister
library.
lent my the last physical book that I read, my sister lent me, and she said, I ordered this book and I didn't realize I was ordering the big print version. And I said, great, I'll read
I'll
it.
take it. I'll take it.
Sitting in bed reading this print, that is not, yeah, no,
Good.
I'm with you.
Good. Well, Kristen, thank you so much. I love this
Thank you.
conversation. I hope that anybody who listened today got intrigued to learn more about SCM, not only in terms of whether or not you can provide services that help them, but getting them thinking a little bit differently about our role as caregivers and support and that village to our parents who need that in different ways more and more every day, and what resources there are for us to help support them, but also take care of ourselves in the process.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. I can't wait to see the rest of your episodes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That was great. I've known Kristen a while, and I don't know that I've ever had the opportunity to talk to her so deeply and at such depth and length around what's clearly a passion for her. I mean, wouldn't we all love to feel as passionate about what we do every day as she does? I mean, how inspiring. More importantly, how helpful. And I'm going to share all those resources that we talked about in the show notes and on my website about SDM and what they do and how they do it and how you might access their services or their resources inside of their newsletter and support them financially and their great mission. I hope that you got ignited. And if this episode meant something to you, or you think about some other people in your life who could benefit from hearing a little bit more about this, I hope you'll share this episode and this podcast in general with them. Thanks so much and see you next time.